Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and I will use this as an opportunity to tell you the truth as I see it, and just try to communicate as respectfully as I can with people who are saying, hey, it's over, step down, Trump lost, accept it. And because there, look, I've obviously have friends who believe this, and you know, most of my family are Democrats, and so obviously they're thrilled. And I had a conversation with a friend of mine who works in radio who said, hey, listen, you know, don't veer too far off the course. But I also tell you, Western Washington has been the laboratory for what we're watching. And I'm not just talking about the theft of the election from Dino Rossi, because everybody knows that's a stolen election. Dino will tell you it's a stolen election. I mean, it was eight separate recounts, etc. And then the trunk of the car thing. They found ballots in the trunk of the car. Every single person who is honest with themselves knows that Dino Rossi was stolen from. But it's not just that. It's not just that as the laboratory. When I'm saying to you that we're looking at something global, and I talk about Build Back Better, I'm looking at a template. And I'm looking at a templated behavior around the world that must be enforced, right? And it goes to, in the United States, it goes to this election phenomena. And it goes very much to this. Do not trust your intuition. Do not demand logic. Do not demand common sense. Do not demand answers to very specific questions. Simply listen to the authorities. That's exactly what 60 Minutes was about last night with Chris Krebs, the lawyer who they say they call a cybersecurity expert. Maybe he is. Maybe he's a self-taught coder, and I don't know that. I know he's a lawyer. Okay, and he could have become expert at this as a top sheeter, someone who knows the big picture. I've been a top sheeter. I've founded and sold companies and worked at Microsoft as a bit of a top sheeter myself. So I'm not saying that makes you inept. But I'm watching 60 Minutes put him on TV with his low authoritative voice that John Brennan loves, by the way. John Brennan loves his voice, saying, look, trust this man, public servant. No. I in Washington State, I've watched so-called public servants use the law to destroy people. I've watched a so-called attorney general, Sideshow Bob, use his office to destroy a man because he disagrees with his politics. I've watched him spend more money to persecute and destroy Tim Iman, who is a Washington State activist for responsible taxation. I've watched Bob Ferguson use his office to attack and destroy that man and his family and refuse to settle a campaign finance violation case. When Bob Ferguson himself, in all likelihood, committed a series of campaign finance felonies. So the laboratory of what I've seen so-called public officials do, so-called authorities, has me in the position of, no, I've seen this movie. I don't trust the authorities. Particularly as I'm being told, stop with the common sense. It puts the mask on its skin or it gets the lockdown again. Stop reading your peer-reviewed articles. Stop talking about the physics of masks. Stop talking about common sense with masks. For instance, this. Pretend the mask works. Pretend. Okay, you're walking through a grocery store. There's a whole cloud of COVID coming your way. Thank God Almighty you're wearing a cloth diaper over your face. Well, now you can't get COVID, right? Where did the COVID particles go? On top of the mask, sitting there, in your hair, on your t-shirt, in your eyes, on your pantalones. But you're wearing a mask. Well, I hope you take that mask off in a vacuum room, negative oxygen, that sucks the virus away from you, takes it out of your hair, but you don't. So we're told to ignore common sense. We're lectured to ignore common sense. And the rules that have been set up around the COVID can't be anything other than purposely crazy making, purposely confusing. And this is now global. Believe it or not, remember Jay Inslee, the so-called governor of Washington State, with his substantial appetizers thing?
Well, what we know is that having some adult beverages is safe before 9:59 p.m., but only if you have substantial appetizers.
That's now global. I'm not kidding. In the UK, they're doing the substantial appetizers thing. It is all crazy making. It is all arbitrary. It is all creating mass confusion. So let's, once again, let's look at the patterns, such as, should we trust so-called public officials who are lawless?
We know how to do this. It's not rocket science. It's really a matter of willpower.
This directive should be used to educate, encourage, and persuade individuals to wear face coverings.
Start at the beginning. For our listeners around the country and around the globe, the wheezing voice you heard there is a guy who is a so-called doctor. His name is Jeff Duchin. By the way, someone sent me a note. I talked about Jeff and said, don't do the nasty nickname thing for the guy. I'm not. His name is Duchin. That's the man's name. So when I say so-called doctor, I'm talking about his behaviors. So there's your public health official. He runs King County Public Health. That man who wants you to put aside your common sense, to not read peer-reviewed papers, to not say, hey, masks didn't work the first time, they're not working the second time, there's nowhere they've worked. He's still going to insist upon that. That is a man who has overseen the explosion of overdoses and fentanyl usage and hepatitis and drug camps where sex trafficking regularly occurs. That man has overseen that as a so-called public health official. That man has overseen an increase in HIV transmission in certain neighborhoods, in the transmission of ocular syphilis. That man has overseen trench diseases coming back on the West Coast. That man. But he's deeply concerned that you wear a mask. Because what we do as individuals affects the community. What we do as a community affects individuals. Those things don't line up. They can't be made to line up. Jeff Duchin has an agenda that is non-medical when it comes to drugs and open-air drug dealing and open-air sex trafficking. It has absolutely nothing to do with keeping people healthy. How do we know? 30 years of data is how we know. Okay, 30 years of performance data. Things are getting worse. Seattle's not dying. It's being murdered. Okay. Then there's this. Jeff Duchin, in other words, Jeff Duchin is completely untrustworthy. He's nothing like a public servant. He's an agenda-driven animal. I'm not calling him an animal, but he's as in Animal Farm. He's an agenda-driven animal, in terms of that book. I'm not calling a person an animal. Then there's this. In the same state where Jay Inslee has stolen private property from people because of a flu with a 99.87% or 77 to 87% survival rating, 99.77 to 87% survival rate, a flu, that man has stolen people's homes. People who have rental properties, Jay Inslee has stolen those rental properties. He's taken them away. You may not earn income on this. I don't care if it bankrupts you. This man who has stolen people's businesses, this man who has stolen people's educations, this man who's overseen an increase in suicides with his lockdown policies, this man who's overseen a 2,000% increase in sex trafficking in this state, This man who's overseen the growth of domestic terrorists in this state, going all the way back to the attempt to murder federal officers in Tacoma, about which Jay Inslee couldn't care, didn't order an investigation. All these factors. His low-trust society he's built, which is other people aren't following the law. Why should I? What he has transmitted to criminals is, you own the place, come and get it, is bearing fruit. In a city in the Seattle area, homeowners are being visited and told they have to vacate their properties because the new owners are there. I'm not kidding. It's not a fever dream. Jason Rantz has a story about it. Now, Cairo 7 has caught on to this phenomena. I'll tell you about this in detail in 60 seconds right after we do a quick glance at traffic. So Cairo 7 has a story in Edmonds, Washington. People showing up with official-looking pieces of paper, going to waterfront homes and saying, these are ours now.
Edmonds detectives say the group knocked on doors in some of the most upscale neighborhoods in Woodway and Edmonds, identifying themselves as Moorish sovereign citizens. They carry official-looking documents. They say they own the property, and they announce they're moving in.
And they have basically come to say that that they're from this particular group. And they're there to repossess the home and want the people to vacate the premises.
In every case, police were called and the group cooperated when they were told they were trespassing and they could be arrested. The Southern Poverty Law Center identifies the Moorish Sovereign Citizens Group as an extremist group, saying they believe their status as members of a sovereign nation imparts immunity from federal, state, and local authority.
All right, so the Southern Poverty Law Center finally gets one right. Why would they do this here? Well, in Squim, Washington, and Cairo 7 has not covered this. In Squim, Washington, in some of the rural areas of Washington State, actions like this has worked. But it's a bit more militant. They go to people's homes, their property, and they move in on their land. As a landowner in Washington State, we've interviewed people who've had folks come to their property and camp out in an attempt to establish residency. This has happened and worked, where people have been rewarded by being given people's lands. The landowners have said, I got to go kick these people out. I've talked to officers about this on the air, about saying, hey, I would want to go confront these people. I would want to go, if they're on my property, I'd want to go down armed and say, get up. And I've had officers say, don't do that. These people are really, really dangerous. They're armed beyond belief. And you're going to get hurt. They're also, they're dangerous. There are law students who've joined this effort to make sure, not this specific effort, but the effort in the rural parts of Washington State to make sure people don't keep their property. And it's worked. There are camps now on private land where those people now, congratulations, they now own riverfront property. Someone else pays the taxes, but they de facto own it. So in this case, maybe this isn't going to work here. Probably not going to work. What's the difference? I'm asking legitimately, what's the difference? These people have determined that they are the rightful owners. They've got official looking papers. They're showing up and saying, give us your house. What is the difference when a governor says, there's bad flu, stop charging rent? Well, we're not going to pay you. We're not going to cover the rent payments. We aren't going to go to the taxpayer and say, you're going to have to cover the rent payments. Oh, it's going to bankrupt you? Oh, I don't care. Because my policy is there's a really nasty flu going around. And therefore, you need to give up your private property. One is reason for Cairo 7 to say this is an extremist group. And God bless them for running the report. Another is for Cairo 7 to ignore the phenomena that for over a year, or not quite over a year, but it's going on a year, Jay Inslee has stolen people's private property without paying them back. And it's nationwide. And it's as coordinated as letting the felons go and opening the prisons because of a flu. The effort to insert utter chaos in the lives of citizens in the UK, in the United States, in Australia, in France and Germany and Switzerland couldn't be more clear than it is in front of our faces today. This is what we're seeing. This chaos. But we're seeing something else. In order to really, really, really confuse people and get what people who are authoritarian really want, it requires a degree of complete capriciousness. Let me give you an example. 11 years ago yesterday in the Seattle area, four police officers were executed. They were having breakfast, as I recall, drinking coffee and visiting before their days began. Sergeant Mark Reniger, Officer Ronald Owens, Officer Tina Griswold, and Officer Greg Richards were murdered. On average, they were about 40 years of age. They were beloved. That was 4 years ago. It was met with shock, disgust, fear. This year, there's been several attempts to murder cops, and I see no demands from the Seattle Media 5 to determine how Black Lives Matter and Antifa are pushing this. I see no curiosity. Who's organizing the murders of cops or the attempts to murder them? That's how far we have fallen. And it continues. Jason Rantz is a story at KTTH.com. There's going to be no restitution. No, taxpayers are going to pay the bill now. They're starting a pilot program where if a criminal commits an act and is ordered to pay restitution, not only do they not have to go to jail, they don't have to pay restitution. The welcome mat for criminals is sitting here. I once said this on the radio, and I had a person who is also in radio. I said, there's a big welcome sign in the air saying criminals come to Seattle. And this person said, really? I live here. I've never seen that welcome sign. Where is it? It's here. It's with the policies. And authoritarianism requires capriciousness. It requires the breaking of will. It requires the breaking of brains. People's brains must be broken to accept, okay, well, it's another lockdown. Okay, I'll turn over the keys to my business. Okay, I will just give up my home that Jay Inslee says I can't charge rent for anymore. Okay, Trump won the rest of the country except for these five cities. And okay, Joe Biden, he garnered more enthusiasm, you know, two times the enthusiasm of Barack Obama in this, you know, major county in Arizona. Okay. Yeah, there's the algorithmic addition of votes. And okay, the last minute overnight vote counts broke for Biden at 9-1. Okay, that happened in a 4-hour time period. Okay, they said they'd stop counting. But oh, no, Chris Krebs says it's all good. An authority with the federal government says, no, everything's fine. Twitter's blocking news about this. Facebook is blocking news about this. Okay, it's all fine. The media, 5 minutes after the election, said Joe Biden is now president-elect. He's not. There's a constitutional process for that. Ignore that. Then there's this. And it happens all around the country. All around the country. A Multnomah, this is in Oregon, Multnomah, never say that the correct way, county commissioner is one of many who wagged their finger, don't you dare travel for a holiday.
Multnomah County Commissioner Sharon Myron is drawing criticism from some county workers and the public for her decision to travel to Hawaii despite a spike in coronavirus cases in Oregon that resulted in travel warnings.
I am working virtually, and I am also having a vacation.
Oh, okay. All right. No, never mind. Oh, it's a vacation. And you're working for Julie? Oh, well, that explains it. We'll stay locked in our houses and shut our thinking organ and shut our mouths, and we'll just let you go out and do what rulers in a capricious, lawless society do. Man, I wish I could come in and say it's all good. I wish I could. Come back on the Todd Herman Show. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show. The text line is 800-465-8770. Alex, let's start gathering those throughout the show again. And I feel like we're so packed with news that some listeners are feeling left out. And so I just want to make sure that we do that. We do that, please. Did Barack Obama ever leave office? I'm sorry that there's been a theme to the show this morning. And we cover a lot of news and we cover a lot of stories, but there is, I'm just feeling this theme. And it's this, that we are being conditioned to just simply listen to the authorities. And I don't think it's working with my audience. I don't think it's working with people who listen to this show. I don't think it works with, you know, Rush Limbaugh's audience. I don't think it works with the audience of Eric Metaxas and others. I find nothing more alarming, because of my personal history of being told, listen to the authorities. I find nothing more alarming about that, because listen to the authorities means just listen to them. That's what it means. It ends with, but they're the authorities. And sentences that end with, because they're the authorities, are never good for society. We are not designed to be a country that simply listens to the authorities. But we're being conditioned to become a society that simply listens to the authorities, and it's working with 50% of the country. And the fear that's been inserted into the United States of America is the only way they're getting away with this. That's it. If they hadn't had told us all the things, all the scary things, we could never be here. So let's start way back in 2016. Because we're being told this was the most secure election in history, because this is where it's so utterly frustrating for me. You had a handshake in the Oval Office between two men who don't like each other very much, Barack Obama and Donald Trump. You had the Mockingbird media taking pictures of that. They brought that back to say this is what peaceful transfer of power looks like. Everybody, look at what a real president did, what a real president, Barack Obama, did. He handed over the reins of power. He stepped down. He took his rightful place in history. This is what you are told happened. Did it. This is what the mainstream Mockingbird members of the media have been putting back out on Twitter. Reminder, here's the handshake. This is peaceful transition of power. Yes or no, was there a peaceful transition of power? Well, there was no war. There was no assassinations, but there was never a transfer of power. The power went to the FBI and the DOJ to continue to spy on Trump and his people. And at that point, the scary notion that the president of the United States was a Russian spy was introduced into the public. Those were lies. So there was never evidence. There was no algorithmic sense that this happened. There was never a vetted document. None of that was forthcoming, but The Mockingbird media members treated it as fact. They paraded it as fact. If you questioned it, you were a cult member. If you pushed back against it, you had your eyes shut. There were the bumper strips. If you're not alarmed, you're not paying attention. It inserted into people's minds this incredible doubt about Trump. Well, wait a minute. Our process. Trump had won the votes. Our process. Our sacred process. Our secure process had decided that. Nope. Russia hacked it. Same Mockingbird media who are telling you, without evidence, President Trump continues to claim there was election fraud in the election. President-elect Joe Biden, who's hired an all-female communications staff, disagrees. Plus, did you hear? The family's getting a cat. It'll be the first White House kitty cat. Hey, listen to the authorities. Look, these are career public officials who are telling you Trump is a Russian agent. Those are career public servants. Those are career professionals. Those are career federal law enforcement officials telling you he's a Russian spy. Well, he's not. Well, no apologies. No setting the record straight. Shift gears. Where are we at? The midnight counts, the four-hour window where Joe Biden takes the lead in mathematical and miraculous fashion, the algorithmic addition of votes, 1,200 vote blocks in Georgia, 2,000 vote blocks in Pennsylvania. We have the dead people. Well, not dead people voting. That's not the big issue. The people is people who didn't live in a specific state voting. They moved out. They weren't there anymore. There's receipts for this. But there's no evidence. You have this judge putting a hold on the Dominion voting machines. You can't wipe the machines. Then the judge takes the hold off. Okay, go ahead and wipe the machines. Then the next day, probably after the machines are wiped, he came back and said, whoa, stop. Now don't wipe them. But they already had overnight to wipe them. Now they can say, oh, they were wiped beforehand. But there's no evidence. The same authorities telling you there's no evidence are the same authorities who told you there was evidence that Trump was a Russian spy. And I asked, did Obama ever leave office? No, those were his programs. The kneecapping Trump as a Russian agent was his program. Kamala Harris is his pick. Joe Biden's already fractured an ankle playing with a dog. And if God forbid the man's in the Oval Office, Barack Obama has his hand-picked person to take his place. And Obama, he can't help himself. He has to get back in the public eye. Now he's out smearing Hispanic people who voted for Trump. Because remember, even though Trump lost the election, even though he got 10 million more votes, even though he increased his vote margin with Hispanics, with gay people, with black people, with Asian people, even though Joe Biden underperformed Hillary Clinton's 2016 counts in all but five states, or really five cities in five states. Even though all this math, even though Trump won 99% of the bellwether counties, the counties who predict presidential wins, even though he did that, just listen to the authorities. Everything was secure. Just like you listened to the authorities that Trump was a Russian agent. Just like you listened to the authorities that it was 2 weeks to flatten the curve, then another week just for good measure. Just like you listened to the authorities that the masks, the magic masks, will save us all. Listen to the authorities now. Barack Obama had to go out and criticize Trump's Hispanic supporters.
We're surprised about a lot of Hispanic folks who voted for Trump. But there's a lot of evangelical Hispanics who, you know, the fact that Trump says racist things about Mexicans or puts detainees, undocumented workers in cages. They think that's less important than the fact that, you know, he supports their views on, you know, gay marriage or abortion.
Yeah, actually, the president has said nothing to change gay marriage. Nothing, just so we're clear. But that's Barack Obama. The dystopian music's not ours. It's in the original video. Sorry about that. But there you go, Barack Obama. You guys, you Hispanics who voted for Trump, really, you're just white rednecks. Really, you just don't know you're a white redneck, right? Maybe you're not even Hispanic. Maybe that's a myth, too. Hey, listen to the authorities. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. Fun fact for you about the Moderna vaccine. Wonder how many people were in the control group that got the vaccine. Want to know? No? No, seriously, do you want to know? I'll tell you if you want to know. 11. 11 people. There were 194 people in the non-vaccine group. There was all of one death in the non-vaccine group. It's largely people over 65, I think. There were 11 people. They've tested this vaccine for the world, for billions of people. They've determined it's efficacious and it's non-harmful by testing it with 11 folks. I forget how many people are in the world, but I think it's multiples of 11. I think it might be, in fact, it may be up to 1,000 multiples of 11. It might be up to 11,000 people. Well, I think it's more than that on the globe, though, isn't it? What is it, it's like 110,000 people in the globe? Was it? It's more. It's like 11 million. Nope. 11 people. But it's a really solid test. 11 people. And just so we're all clear, I'll go through the details of this peer-reviewed study tomorrow. It's out of Switzerland again. It is looking at homes where kids live with their grandma and grandpa. The kids who lived with grandma and grandpa also went to school. Guess the percentage increase in death from the COVID of grandparents who live with school-age kids. Zero. Zero. Guess the number of life years being taken on average from people who are dying from the COVID above the age of 65. That's about zero. It's just about zero. But man, let's get the billions of doses of vaccines tested with 11 people. Let's rush those to the market. Let's get started with
just a few more things.
It's a quick arrangement of news-like items laid out into a logical and sequentially ordered list.
Thing one.
This is CNN. And they've determined that there's been a wild abuse of power, a dangerous abuse of power. So what is it? Well, it's this.
But it's worth pausing for a second to appreciate just what a wild abuse of power this is. I mean, law school students 20, 30 years from now are going to be studying this. This is going to be high on the list of most dubious pardons we've ever seen in our history.
Yeah, the Mike Flynn pardon. Now, mind you, CNN pimped a story for 3 years that he's a Russian spy. They have not reported the fact that the FBI lied to set him up, to try to get him to lie. That the first investigation of Flynn, the FBI agents came back and said, look, this guy had no intent. He didn't do anything wrong. They caught him in a process lie. Immaterial. No illegality in the phone calls at all. And the DOJ wants to drop the case, but the judge decided to turn prosecutor and judge. But yeah, a pardon for a decorated general is a wild abuse of power, but not Clinton and Obama pardoning terrorists. Well, at least Clinton did. Next up, in just a few more
things. Thing two.
In Arizona, this is Sidney Powell. I mean, this is nothing like an abuse of power, of course. That would never be the case.
The Democrats literally added 35,000 votes to every Democratic candidate to begin with.
You say 35,000 where?
We've got it definitely all over one state, and I would be willing to bet it happened everywhere.
So, again, another thing that it's let's not call that an abuse of power. I mean, that's nothing like an abuse of power, obviously, but these are things that have to be answered in court. It will not work to say, but the guy who was a lawyer who ran the cybersecurity division, he said it's the most secure election in history. But wear your mask. But 2 weeks to flatten the curve. But just another week for good measure. And it's not forever. And just listen to the authorities. Trump's a Russian spy. Michael Flynn, he's Putin's boy. Just listen to the authorities. Next up in just a few minutes.
Thing three.
This is from PBS. They are taking a different tact. It's not an abuse of power. Of course, they believe that Joe Biden is already president-elect. God forbid that happen. So they're describing his would-be cabinet.
Just said this also felt like the Avengers. It felt like we're being rescued from this craziness that we've all lived through from the last 4 years. And now here are the superheroes to come and save us all.
Yeah, John Kerry, a superhero, come and save us. John Kerry, Jen Psaki.
There is Jen Psaki. I mean, listen, we can criticize John Kerry as being an oof and a pretender and a poseur and all the above because that's all true. But Jen Psaki, I mean, come on. She's the one who did respect the hashtag. Remember that? Man, they pushed back against Putin hard. Respect the hashtag, bud, or I'll tell you what, I'll block you on Twitter fast. Jen Psaki apparently lined up to be with, God forbid, President Biden. Next step of just a few more things.
Thing four.
Also in the media, comparing Joe Biden to...
Well, in some ways, he is acting in the way Lincoln did. Lincoln was fairly quiet. He always tried to speak in a unifying way about all Americans.
Yeah, that's Biden. Shut up, fat! You ain't black! Kids like to touch the hair on my legs, and I like it too. Yeah, he's real respectful to all Americans. Last up, and just a few more things.
Thing five.
Joe Biden's also, as you know, a devout Catholic, devout, abortion-loving Catholic. Here he is reading the teleprompter, quoting the word psalmist, as in the psalmists say. This is Joe Biden struggling as a devout Catholic to understand the word psalmist.
And if we do, and I'm sure we can proclaim the psalmist with the psalmist who wrote these following words. The Lord is my strength and my shield.
It's the peace. It's a silent P in the Holy Bible. But you're a devout Catholic. Got it. Listen to the authorities, folks. Come back on the Todd Herman Show.